Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to board a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He, King Shaziz the Turbo! All rise for King Shaziz the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
Away, 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 away
nothing happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those Muslim old boys raised on shotguns. The West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures
shows of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. From North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land, and we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
You're not listening to nothing. Hello, everybody. It's old King Shazuz the Terrible. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and I forgot to hit the lock talk mic on there. It happens when you get old, but I'm still good looking. Either way, we got... yeah, I said it. We got a bunch of people up in here, but before we get to that point, I put a link in the chat room to the Knights podcast page, because we're at about, let's see, let me look myself here so I make sure I don't say the wrong number here. Yeah, there it is. We're at Knights, this is Knights number 96, coming up on the... coming up on the whole 100 pretty close, but
well, I'm gonna have to start swimming.
Yeah,
make it back in time.
That's right. But see, the reason why I put that link in there is because I kind of like everybody to go in there and take a peek around at that Knights of the Round Table podcast and to look and see what it's all about, what the whole Knights of the Round Table was all
get
about.
Back.
From
yeah, get back like 20 episodes and have a good listen.
Yeah, and actually, at some point in time, I'm gonna upload all the original podcasts from where it all actually started back on TNS Radio and MSI Radio, because back even on that network there were some really awesome nights that I wished were still around.
Yeah, it was. I wish they followed over, but
yeah,
such is life. We tend to take different paths every now and then, mate. It's okay.
Yep.
Right.
So, you know, anyway, for those folks out there listening who maybe just joining in or whatever, the Knights of the Round Table was an idea that was born out of all the craziness going on out there in the world. You know, some days I get up in the morning and I ask myself, you know, what's the point? I said, I'm living out here in the country, and I pretty much got it made. You know, you've seen where I've lived, Cultus. You've been here. You know, it's out in the middle of nowhere, and it's peaceful. And so, you know, in my area, I don't see wars and all the kind of stuff that goes on out there in the world. And so, you know, common sense says that if I just wanted to be me and just live my life and let things be as they are, I could just stay out here in the country and, you know, shut off all communications to the outside.
Yeah, not never bother you out there.
Yeah, so what's the purpose of me actually doing this? It's obviously not for me to get rich, because I do not...
That ain't happening anytime soon.
Yeah, I do not live in a mansion, and I got a YouTube that throws me a few pennies here and there for my research and that kind of stuff, but it's not, nor has it...
Yeah. I've got almost the same... Well, actually, I've got even less income from my YouTube than you, and yeah, it's not much.
It's not, nor has it ever been about getting rich or, famous or anything like that. It's about whenever I think about all the things that we've all researched and the world in general and the problems outside the world, you know, I think about my grandchildren, I think about their children, I think about your children, you know, I think about you. And it's on my heart, man. I can't sit idly by knowing that I'm doing fine and somebody else is doing without, you know. It's that scales of justice
thing. You know what? I had this exact problem today, okay? Because I've been helping someone out a fair bit in the last few months. And, you know, I mean, it's all well and good to help someone out, but it's sort of getting to the point where I think it's putting you in a position now where it almost upsets them to have to take from me, because, you know, they know I'm not in the greatest financial position in the world in the first place, but I have more than enough to live a day-to-day life, you know?
Yeah.
And I kept having this irking sense that I've just walked away and like, you know, well, not that it's not my problem, like, that's far from it, but not helping out where I can, when I can, is as good as walking away and washing your hands of it.
Yeah,
it's ignorant.
I'm going to put that link in the Skype chat for those folks that are there, the knights that are sitting around the table, which I'd like to go around and introduce here pretty quick. But yep. I just want to start off this particular night about showing everybody this as a little reminder of what it is that the knights stand for, what it is, why we're doing what it is we're doing. And I feel like we're all coming from the same, you know, belief, so to speak, as to why we're here, you know. And I couldn't see why anyone would want to come in to to disrupt something like this. But we, you know, as well as I do, when we talk about certain subjects, our computers come under assault, and you know, it's just
and we're savvy with our hardware and our software. Like as most of you guys saw me just flit around, and I discovered where my problem was, and you know, a couple of other suggestions were thrown out there, but I knew how to fix what was wrong. And it's those times when that we are completely baffled that we can't even work out what just happened.
Yeah, and I go, I've had to go as far as putting me a sacrificial computer in between me and my actual IP service, so that, yep, you know, when they do all the shenanigans, they're doing it to a computer off in the other room and not even getting to me. So,
yep.
You know, if you notice the last couple shows, I haven't been smashed off a line, and so, you know, there's a plus. But anyway, back to the show there. You know,
I think the cool thing is they say if the devil isn't fighting you, then you ain't doing a good enough job.
When I heard that,
I took it as a great compliment this morning. I was just listening to my music, it's distorted, and that was all kind of crazy. So I shut down the IDJC and then booted it right back up. I lost 10 seconds, and that seemed to straighten it out. And then it started distorting just a little bit more. I said, well, maybe it's coming from Skype. But I was watching my icons flow across my screen, down to my start menu, back up to the screen. Then it would take the next one down to, and it was just going zip, zip, zip.
I heard that.
So I come to the conclusion that I was being scanned. And I said, oh, well, let's see. Let's drop Skype out. And I did. And yeah, it was, everything seemed to work. I mean, it took a few seconds for it to clear up. Then it worked fine all the way to the end. I said, nope, I'm going to go ahead and take Skype completely off the computer and put it back on. And I will. It's on my other operating system.
Muddy.
So, yeah, it went off good.
Muddy, I heard that phrase that you said on your radio show, because I love your shows. I listen to your shows all the time. And when you talked about the devil attacking you, you know, and I was just saying that, it's ironic, because I was just saying that yesterday to my wife as we were heading back to church. I said, you know, the closer you get to God, the harder the devil tries to kick your butt, you know. And so, you know, with that said, we must be on the right track, otherwise we wouldn't be under attack like we are. You know, we got a lot of networks that have come together And we're not the only ones having these issues. You know, it's all these networks that have combined together, and they're actually out there saying, you know, speaking the truth and trying to make the world a better place. Somebody obviously doesn't want the world to be a better place, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's just like the visit I got from the National Nuclear Security Agency's CEO on my Google Plus wall. They're up, we're discussing using irradiated copper to build a Tesla coil, and he just moseyed on past, because if you recall, that was the last time we got smashed off air.
Yeah,
we were discussing that back in Tesla's day, that there was no way that they would have been able to purify the copper down to the point they would have been able to extract all the yellow cake, all the uranium from the copper, and thus that Tesla would have been using ionizing copper, a copper that ionizes the air around it.
Yep.
And with that, next minute, we're all offline. We didn't know what was going on. I even called you to make sure everything was all right, because I knew the subject matter. And then it was about half an hour after the show, I had a post on my Google Plus wall there, poking his rearing his ugly head. And all we said was, when you manage to gather enough energy to boil me a coffee, get in contact with us. But it was basically like he didn't have to come out and say, you know, we're gunning for you, we don't like you. He just had to come and pay me a visit, and I know. Yeah. But I want him to know that I don't care. he thinks you know, a little bit of a scare tactic on Google Plus is going to work. Hey, man, I'm sitting in a BHP mining town right now. You want to come get me? Pretty sure you got some friends that are, like, down the road from me. Let's get it on.
So, anyway,
before
we get too deep into the show, we got Mitko in here. How you doing, brother?
Okay,
that didn't sound too reassuring.
No, Mitko's actually been very ill the last week.
Oh,
We nearly lost our Mitko.
Sorry to hear that, yeah, brother. Hope you're feeling better, though.
Yeah, well, it was over fairly quickly, but I was better at something.
He'd had his brain taken out of his ear with an ice cream scoop. Flipped around a couple of times and stuck back in the other ear.
And we also have Muddy in here. Say hi, Muddy.
Hi, Muddy, and hello, Larry. Good morning to you.
Yeah, I was getting ready to introduce Larry, but Muddy, you go ahead and do that.
Hey, hello, Larry Woods.
Good morning.
Good morning. And me and Larry had a great conversation after the show yesterday, and my eyes were open, and I was like a kid in a candy store picking his brain. It was wonderful. Wonderful.
Well,
I have a brain the size of a pea.
Well,
it's stuffed.
I had something intelligent to say to that brain the size of a pea thing, but I lost it. So I think mine just rolled across the floor. Anyway.
If earplugs weren't detrimental to audio communication, I'd suggest wearing them, but...
Yeah, that would hold the brain in, right?
Yeah, that was the idea, mate. I sent you a couple of packs this week.
All right, well, you know, back to the whole concept to just start off here, right there. The Knights of the Round Table and all these networks that have come together for a common cause, such as trying to make the world a better place, and also taking in conjunction with what Muddy said about, you know, how the devil's going to attack you every chance he gets, because, you know, when you're on the right track, devil being the devil, or devil being the government, or devil being the trolls, or the knuckleheads, or you know, secret governments, or secret government agencies, or whatever. Either way, we all know that the harder we work out here, the more we all end up coming under some sort of assault. And so, with that said, take another look at that Knights of the Round Table podcast page, and just mosey around there. Look at some of the pictures and some of the phrases on there of what it's all about. you know, in my mind, it's a spiritual battle of epic proportions. You know, we're trying to, you know, pave some stepping stones for the future generations of mankind so that they don't have to live through the same stuff that we did, you know, and see and hear all the craziness going on in the world. And maybe, just maybe, it's an unachievable dream. But on the opposite spectrum, maybe, just maybe, it's possible, and we are going to be the ones to plant that seeds that will bear the fruit for all of future humanity.
I can already guarantee that's exactly what's going to play out, Shaziz. I was thinking about it today. I was sitting in the backyard out here in the middle of the desert just pondering, because I've got a lot of time to ponder right now. I was just pondering. And I realized something. I realize that every single person on this planet at the present moment is up to speed with what is going on within the government, within humanity, and all the rest. The only thing they're not up to speed with yet is whether the guy sitting right next to him on his left is thinking the same as him.
Yeah.
But he is. They're all thinking the same, but they're all still scared to talk amongst each other.
Well, and there's the key. The communication is one of the powers.
Opening up communication.
You know?
Just randomly start talking about this stuff. You know, just have a cup of coffee with someone. Hey, did you read about your tyrannical government in the media this morning? But you didn't. Maybe I should introduce you to some proper media sources.
Well, there's a lot going on in the governments as far as the media has been advertising and basically talking about. You know, we got a president who, in my opinion, has committed so many crimes, and it even goes farther into biblical significance for me. But I won't get into all that because I don't want to dwell on the negativity of what life has got in store for us. What I want to do is I want to unlock minds and get people to doing exactly what it is that we do here on the Knights of the Round Table. This was put here as a platform, not for any one of us singled out, but all of us together coming to the table. I mean, we've said this before, Cultus. You're in Australia. You actually got a chance to come over here. That was a wonderful deal. We got people in Bulgaria. We got people in Canada. We got people in USA, all over the world. And Spain, Dublin was in here earlier. I don't know where he disappeared to. Maybe he's having issues with his Wi-Fi. You know,
maybe.
He'll be back around. If not, he's probably listening, and we love you, Dublin. But the key to this whole deal is we've got an opportunity of epic proportions right now, and we're on Knights 96. That may not sound like a whole lot, but that's a whole lot of conversations that came from today all the way back to when the idea was first born. And there was people from all nations talking throughout this entire deal, which, you know, if people ain't talking to each other, then nothing's getting done, nothing's getting accomplished, nothing is getting researched, there's no ideas being shared. But if you go back through every single one of the Knights of the Round Table, you can find multiple nations, multiple people, brilliant minds with ideas and hopes and dreams and aspirations, and we brought them here together, and we gave them the platform by which they can speak, and by God, this platform is still standing today, and we have five honorable knights in here. Somebody just joined us. Who is that?
That would be
Barry Britt.
Barry,
welcome, brother.
I just got out of bed, and I got a message here from Larry that you're sitting down having a talk, so
yep.
Here I am. I'm going to have to go get my coffee, though, in a few minutes.
Well, you get your coffee.
I think we're due for an early music break. It's just based on the technical difficulties and me not being able to do anything but sit here and run around like a freak trying to sort it out.
All right, well, you all can mute your mic. I'm not ready to dump the stream just yet. I got some things on my mind that need to be said. You all can go get you some coffee and then join back in.
We need to hear them too, though.
Okay, well, all right, let's do this then.
Otherwise it's like walking into a room where everyone just stops talking.
I got so much to say. And
I know.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. Let me see if I can find a good tune here. Do-do-do-do. I hate it when this happens. See, I'm going down the deal, and I'm looking through my... Does anybody have a good idea?
Always go for the sunscreen song.
I know what I'm going to do.
The sunscreen... You asked for an opinion.
Okay. Sun's Rain song. Doggone it. There it is.
I need to send you Blonde Locked in Her Car. That goes over.
Yeah, I love Blonde Star, but my show...
It's not really a night of the round table.
Yeah, my show isn't necessarily about music or nothing like that, although, you know, music comes in handy whenever you got to take a nature break and that kind of stuff. Okay, I'll throw in a couple things right here. Everybody get your coffee. We'll come back refreshed, and I'll ramble for a second until somebody shuts me up, and then we'll work our way around the table and let everybody else ramble. What do you think?
No worries. Well, sounds good.
Stay tuned, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love. Take a look at that link while you got a chance.
Ladies and gentlemen. Of the Clash of 99. Wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubble gum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly.
Brother and sister, together we'll make it through. Someday our spirit will take you and guide you there. I know you've been hurting, but I've been waiting to be there for you. And I'll be there just helping you out whenever.
To know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise, politicians will philander, you too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund, maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse, but you never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, on the sunscreen.
Brother and sister, together we'll make it through. Oh, oh yeah. Someday our spirit will take you and guide you there. I know you've been hurting, but I've been waiting.
Every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. That last song has a lot of meaning for me. If anything it was to ever happen to me, I'd hope that they'd play that song at a memorial if they chose to have one for me or whatever, you know. I'm not planning on going anywhere anytime soon, but that song there, to me, it says a lot, you know, and we've kind of touched on it on the Knights of the Round Table. We're essentially flying through space on this beautiful ball, this Earth, this planet we call Earth, and we've got such a vast amount of resources, potential. This Earth is an electromagnetic generator of epic proportions, all the energy you could use for, you know, ever in a day, and, you know, it's just the most beautiful thing that I've ever seen, you know, in my existence, and I'm in awe about the whole deal. I'm humbled by all the different individuals who have come together to you know, share these ideas and thoughts, you know, about you know, alternative energy and alternative medicine, alternative to the system that is the beast that's eating us alive. You know, it's from my own personal religious beliefs, this is an amazing deal. This is a creation of epic proportions. It, to me, we weren't built to sit around and not do nothing. We were built to be creators. We were built to be caretakers of one another. And the potential that we have to make this world a better place has laid in us all along. And so, you know, with that said, I'd like to kind of go around the table there and ask everybody who on the Knights, you listen to that song, what does it mean to you, man? Is it anything close to what I feel about? Who wants to go first? Muddy?
Oh, I guess I will. You know, we live the dream. We're in, you know, waking up is, you know, waking up to what's going on around you kind of lets you know that we live in a dream in the way we go. Just like Kent Anderson said, you know, we have plenty of water, we have enough food to eat, and but most of the world don't. We're, you know, we're sitting up pretty big. But my dream is basically, I wished I lived in the past where we didn't need all this excess stuff, all these accessories. You know, I mean, it'd be a lot better place. I wish the dream to me would be free electricity, like Nikola Tesla said. Plenty for all, no hate, no greed. Get rid of the lizard heads, and, you know, and all that stuff. I mean, just where your efforts and your work doesn't rot.
Yeah.
And love, you know. We were sitting there wondering about what language, you know, certain people talk. I said, I'll tell you what the best language is. The language of love.
And how, brother?
It cures a lot. If people would just love each other. You know, the land up there, when I lived in Virginia, old courthouse, the land up there, it's just, you can feel the negativity in the ground from past events and other things. It's just a lot of hate, and you can actually feel it. I got back to Hampton, and I could feel it a little bit there because there's so much crime. But, you know, the whole time I was there, all I dreamed was getting back to the country.
Yep,
get back to the country, away from all this stuff. And just like you said before, you went on your camping trip. You got away from all them microwaves and cell phone, you know, radiated waves. And you can feel the difference within hours and for days. It kind of just charges you up, makes you that, you know. We don't need all this excess BS.
Well, right, I, like you, would like to see a simpler time. I kind of like technology because I like the fact that we could, you know, do the things we're doing now. But I would like to see technology go hand in hand with, you know, nature and kind of, you know, a give and take kind of thing, you know, where we're not completely, you know, what's the word? Words I'm looking for? Because everyone who knows me knows I'm not a tree hugger because I believe that nature's in charge, and you know, we as man pollute our environment on a local level, but we have no control over the whole system in general. If you know what I'm saying. But
I'm a tree hugger, though. I'm a tree hugger. I mean, I go out there, I find the biggest tree, sit under it for a while, and I guarantee just the energy that God gives that tree, or how it collects the cosmic rays, whatever.
Well, and I guess
it allows your mind to work.
I guess that phrase wasn't the right one to use. What I'm basically saying is, you know, I know that if I don't mow my grass, 2 weeks later I got a tall grass, and if I don't mow it for a month or 2 months or 6 months or a year, I'm living in the jungle. So nature takes back what we don't use. That's what I mean by not being a tree hugger. I mean, I love trees. I love wildlife. I love nature, and I think that we should, you know, if you're going to use a tree, you plant a tree, that kind of thing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Who else has got thoughts on this matter?
Well, I'm just sitting here contemplating a few things. But we've gone over this, must be 1,000 times now, of loving your brothers and sisters and just taking care of them, you know. Give a brother a shirt off your back if he needs it, you know, if you've got another one at home. Going to your neighbour's house and knocking on his door asking if his health is okay. Is that why his lawn is, you know, overly grown instead of just ringing the council on him? You know, or if his lawnmower's broken, does he need a hand to fix it?
Yeah.
You know, and then giving him a hand, you know. And if he can't afford the blades and you can, go and buy the bloody things. It's not like, you know. I've had a lot of very profound lessons given to me in the last couple of weeks. One of them, I mentioned it before at the beginning of the show, this person I've been helping out, you know, I can help them out and still not be broke. Like, I mean, I'm going to be nowhere better off moving forward, but I don't see the point of me moving forward if one of my best friends has to stay behind.
Yeah, I'm here.
You know what I mean? And so I can't honestly just, like, it's felt like I've just walked away and, like, washed my hands of the situation, like, because, you know, it has been something that's upset, you know, upset them, the fact that they themselves have absolutely no income and that they can't, you know, support themselves. Like, their family takes very good care of them, but, you know, they have their limits as well. And I know very much what it's like to be, you know, sort of stuck in a position where you can't afford to do anything and everyone's paying your way for you, and how awful that feels, you know. So just to have a couple of bucks in your kit that you can say, well, that's, you know, that's mine for the rainy day when everyone goes out to do something, I can go along too, you know, and I don't have to feel like I'm, you know, mooching and spoiling the day. So I guess what I'm trying to really push is that even if, like, you know, you might have to miss out on that new pair of shoes if you buy a homeless man a new shirt, you know, you probably figure that the 5 or 6 pairs of shoes you've got in your wardrobe now probably suffice you for a while longer.
Yep, I like, you know, the way you think, brother.
Yeah, like, I'm having a vision about this, like, the last 12 hours of my life, actually. That's funny that it's leading to this on the show. But
does that song speak to you whenever I play that song?
It always has. Yeah. Yeah. It sort of points out the anarchy of the world, you know. And there's just the two of them. I'm assuming it's him and his girl. You know. And they're fighting a struggle just to stay alive in this world.
Yeah, and I think most families are. And, you know, and like you said, the things that you could sacrifice that you don't necessarily need an extra pair of shoes, you can get by with what you got for the moment.
Yep.
You know, this is what I like about the nights, man. This is, you know, to us, maybe we're preaching to the choir when we talk to each other, but to the listener out there who's without hope or thinks the world is just totally, you know, messed up and there's no, you know, nothing we can do about it, this is proof positive there is something we can do about it.
There is nice people. And, you know, it may seem like we're few and far between, but a lot of those who seem mean and haughty are really just conditioned that way. they're afraid that if they give you something, where's it going to come back from?
Yeah, they're going to deal with that. So
instead of looking at the pay it forward method, you know, and this is something I work very heavily with, give without expectation of receiving, and I mean
it works
wholly and solely. You can't be like, oh, I'm just going to believe that, you know, I don't want anything out of this, but I reckon if I help this bloke out, I'll get helped out too. You can't think like that. You have to. You have to do it wholeheartedly from your heart because you see another person in need. You know?
Yeah, you step right off the cliff.
Exactly.
You just do it. Exactly. You know, you don't think about it. You do what your heart tells you to do.
The only instructions you leave them with, because the first thing they want to do is pay you back, and you say that's not an option.
Right. Okay?
What you can do to pay me back is I want you, when and only when you're on your feet and in a good position in your life now, that when you are in that position, that you find two other people who need the help I gave you, and specifically say, give them, you know, they need the help I gave you, and explain that by doing this, by finding two people and making a life change for them, doing something for them, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a monetary thing. You could sit down and talk to someone for an afternoon and completely change their life, you know. So, it has to be a profound change will be created in their life from what you did. Okay? Now, if you do that, and if they are able to follow through, it's not always going to happen, you know. And that's quite okay. It's the same in every system. There is always going to be a little hole here and there, but the net is made.
But every step forward,
it will capture the stroke, you know, the ones that fall through, you know, and it'll pick them up and it'll bring them back in. The whole focus of paying it forward isn't about fixing the world as much as it is about fixing the people. See, the one thing I've noticed with the people I help is it grows something inside them. A love. It sparks something in them that makes them then want to go out there and have a positive impact on somebody else's life and do it selflessly. So if we can all do this with two people, and those two people each find two people each, and so on and so forth down the line, you see the pyramid that's getting built there. Yeah. You know, but it's not like a pyramid scam where it all comes back to the guy up the top. No. It's a good way of evenly distributing what little we have amongst everyone, so everyone can be okay, you know.
I agree with you 100%. Ryan, what's your thoughts on the matter, brother? What do you think when you hear that song?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
I think of my dream, which is to actually live life and not survive it. Because that's all I've done since I was a little kid, is survive the life I've been put into, you know. And I want to live it. I want to live it. To be honest, I think the last couple months I've started to again. I think maybe I was living it when I was a little kid,
yeah.
You know, when I had no thoughts of all this stuff before we all knew all this, you know. We were a lot better, you know. I remember flying as a little child. Never thought twice about it. Thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Then as I got older, I realized that, you know, the plane was being flown by somebody, and somebody built it, and it could fall apart, and, you know, just start thinking about all the, you know, like cultists, and like, it's just that we're conditioned.
Yep.
You know, we're conditioned from birth, you know, and you know, some people get to live their lives, and most people get to to survive it.
Do you know what? You know what though, Ryan? Do you know what? In what all of us do here, I don't know about the rest of you, but I actually go to bed at night fairly content with myself and my efforts.
Yeah. That's how I feel now. Like I was saying, lately, starting to feel that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to. I don't even want to sleep. You know, I feel like that's wasting time.
That's when you know you are a true-hearted free energy researcher. When all you want to do is get up and do research.
It is. Yeah. I mean, you know, I blew that cap up in my face yesterday, and I'm not going to buy. I'm going to make them. You know, it goes back to like one of the first videos of watching you make saltwater caps.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny, but instead of making, you know, a couple dozen, I plan on making one that's 100 or 150 today. And it's going to be a pretty big saltwater cap, and I don't plan on blowing it up because it can't be blown up anyway. It's doing it yourself, you know. I don't know. Like I said, the minute I started, just, you know, everybody that's talked to me, you know, you guys know, and you hear it all the time. I say things like, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea. I'm just doing it, you know, and that's the thing. I feel like a child now, which is really strange. You know, every day I get up and I get to do things that most people do. Does it get to, you know, and,
it's like
and I've sacrificed some friends.
There is a video on my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/desert experimenter, and it's called, I think it's something along the lines of Shocking Moments with the Family. All right? And I had the whole family out the backyard there in Bluffton, and I built them a Tesla coil using one of the coils you'd mailed, actually. And so we're all standing out there. I got the motts all lined up, and I've made this the most crude saltwater capacitor you could imagine that I could actually produce. This thing's like leaking through itself. It's amazing. and we're all standing out there, and I'm getting all the girls up there. Right? They got a fluorescent tube as a chicken stick, and you know it's set the high frequency, and I've got the coil spread nice and wide open, so it's only putting off like, you know, 5-inch arcs at most, you know, the sort of stuff you can walk up and touch, and no one's even going to get a little tickle, you know. Yep. And so they're all there and they're having fun, and they all must have spent like 20-30 seconds having a play, you know. Then I grab her father, and I'm like, hey, come on, mate, have a go. And he's like, nah, not. And I'm like, oh man, don't let the girls show you up. They've all had a turn, you know. With that, man, he's grabbed that fluoro tube off me, and he's up there, and he started playing around. And you could see his eyes light up, man, as soon as he grabbed that first arc with that fluoro tube. Oh man, he was hooked. He was there for about 2 or 3 minutes. He had like the longest go out of everyone. He was the most apprehensive of the lot, you know.
But that's a cool story, man. Before we get too far away, guys, there's a couple more knights in here that need to have their say on that. Who's left in here? We got Barry?
We got Barry. We got Larry.
Barry, what's your thoughts on the matter?
Well, you know what? I missed the song that you're talking about. I don't even know what song you're talking about, Chad, because I'm looking for a copy. So I'm off the loop here.
it's Ozzy's song, The Dreamer. Essentially, he's talking about how, you know, it doesn't matter how we all got here. What the whole deal is that the only chance that we've got to survive as humanity is, you know, with all of us working together. And
absolutely.
You know, so with that said, you know, that's the short version of it.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Shaz. I'm new to the table here, guys. Thanks for having me in here, and I'm going to sit and listen to a lot of things that have to be said here. Great information, but my feelings are, guys, that we have to come together as a human race over.
Yep.
The next generation isn't going to have time to do this. This is a generation that has to make change, and if we don't do it, someday I wake up every day and I go, man, someday I'm going to have to look my kids in the face and tell them why I didn't become active.
That's a really good point.
It drives me every day, Shaz and guys. It drives me right to the point where I get up in the morning, I'm emotionally drained because I know of all the crap that's coming down, but it sparks me into action every day, every day.
The while I
on the radio, boy, I jump on it.
The way I've learned to deal with that is to put my put my say out here once a week. You know, it creates awareness. I know of the amount of people who listen to us, and we reach many ears. You know? And it's,
I find myself compelled to talk anytime I get a chance now, guys,
yep.
Because you can't hold back on the information. Knowing what we know what's coming, we know what's going on in this world. You can't
yep.
hold it, buddy.
You can't.
Every day, guys, every day I go out, I talk to people. Every day I come up with people. I start conversations with people. And all of a sudden that conversation goes to a point where you're offered the opportunity to really put hard information in front of people and get them thinking. And if we all do that every day of the week, we're going to have an impact.
Can somebody add Mr. E to the call?
Mr. who, sorry?
Mr. E.
Mr. E. Mr. E adds me. I can add Mr. E.
Mr. E has bent over the sucker.
Okay. Easy done. But, you know, and the rest of the week, I will engage in conversation. If I find a sheep, I will try to open their eyes.
Yep.
But I do not, and I'll stress this, I do not let myself worry about it on a daily basis. And it's not because I don't care, it's completely the opposite. It's because I care so damn much, I would physically go insane.
Yeah.
I would drive myself over the edge. I would take myself to some government installation and do something I would say later regret. So I don't. Because I've actually seen people go nuts over this stuff. Like, end up, you know, in psychosis in hospital dealing with it because someone ripped their rose-colored glasses off their face too fast. You know, that's a pretty steep hill to come tumbling down.
It is.
I shocked some people this week pretty, I made this little portable slayer and I went to Lowe's Hardware and walked around in the light bulb aisle. I've never had that many light bulbs to play with before. I was in there for like 30 minutes, man, and I blew everybody's mind. I mean, old people are walking by me and they're like just looking at me. I'm pulling bulbs off and checking. I'm like, hey, this is a great way to see what color these bulbs are. And they're just looking at me like, what are you doing?
What you needed was really, really well insulated boots. And a little spacer line up your sleeve, mate, and just walk across the aisles with your hands stretched out.
I have that little canister.
Walk up the aisle and just
hey,
be like,
guys.
I have this little canister. It's so cool. Never had a 10-foot, you know, they sell 10-foot, fluorescent bulbs in big, like, packs of 10.
Hey,
and
guys.
I was, like, holding it up and moving it up and down. It was.
We got a couple more nights I need to have their say there.
Go ahead, guys.
Larry,
sorry.
Larry, what about you? What's your thoughts on it?
I love it. We found out recently that all the government propaganda about how terrible and the evil other countries were is totally incorrect. We've just gotten back from Indonesia, and those people are nicer than our people. Those people love one another just like we do. All we need to do is share the love. We need to spread what we've got.
Well, you know, and that's the key to this whole deal. Is Cultus and I have said this, and many other knights, and even Muddy has said this so many occasions, that we would rather have a barbecue with the Russians than to go over there and shoot it out with them, you know? And
heck, man, I'd rather get a barbecue with a house full of Muslims than go over the country and do any damage.
Yeah, it's
Indonesia is mostly Muslim, and they were the nicest people that I've ever met.
Yep, there you go.
When it comes down to
it, I don't know their kids. Their kids don't know me. I don't know them. They don't know me. How can I hate them?
Exactly.
Exactly.
I don't want to kill their kids, and their kids don't want to kill me.
When it comes down to it, using Cultus' phrase at the end of the day, you know, we're back to the song again. the song.
We're just told that we hate them.
Ozzy's Dreamer song. You know, we all live in the same world. You know, we have to live together. If we sink this boat, we all go down together. Correctly. It's all hands on deck. It's not just the Russians or the Chinese or the Americans or you know, India or whatever. It's all nations go down together. When this boat sinks, we all sink together. You know, and we're not talking about trying to drag some one world government. We're trying to talk about dragging an idea out there into the hearts of the many, all the brilliant minds and the wonderful people of the world, to work together. You know. Hey, Mr. E, could you mute your mic while you're typing, please?
I was
trying to plug in my USB. Oh, that's cool. Anyway, so with that said, we got two more people. We've been joined by Mr. E, and we also have Mitko, who has to have his say on the deal. But the whole idea of that song for me is the same thing that we've all been talking about, you know, bringing all these people together from around the world, sitting down at the table, working out the solutions to the problems that's out here. You know, we could sit around all day long, every day, and we can complain about everything under the sun. We can say, you know, this conspiracy is happening, that's conspiracy. We can allow ourselves to be dragged into the abyss, the darkness so deep into the conspiracy world that we just lose sight of how to fix it, you know. We know things are going on in this world that we do not approve of, and the only way for us to fix it is to get our brothers and sisters around the world to step away from the beast and start working for themselves and believing in themselves enough that they can go out and help their neighbors instead of calling the law on their neighbor for the grass. Do like Cultus said, go over there and ask a brother, is there something I can do for you? Are you feeling bad, or is your mower down? I got a good one, I can help you out, or whatever, you know. Give that homeless man a shirt, you know. Use Dublin's Guerrilla Charity. If they want to try to jail you for feeding the homeless, run by, hand them a sandwich, and disappear into the night like some sort of ninja, man. Nobody even knows the dude's eating a sandwich. He's like, well, who gave you that sandwich? I don't know. Some masked man ran by and handed it to me. It's pretty tasty. You know, what are they going to do? You see what I'm saying?
If you do it right, most people won't be sure you've done anything at all.
Yeah.
And that's how you operate. Yeah. That is how you operate.
Let me interject this. Three times this month, while I was mowing another lawn, my friend on the Weed Eater was going kind of slow, and I snuck next door and stuck the mower down on the low, and I mowed their lawn without them noticing. And it was just, to me, the joy of that was to think of what they thought when they come out the door and look around. Somebody mowed my lawn.
Yeah, I'd love that.
You know,
come over and mow mine.
That feeling, yeah, that feeling to me of just laughing about it, thinking about it, I mean, it fills you up. It makes you feel good, you know, and you can sneak over there and mow their lawn. And I used to, when I couldn't afford to pay the tithes and stuff, when I lived in Garland, Texas, there was a church I picked, and man, it had some tall grass. I stopped over to the side. I said, I know I'm going to get rewarded for this. I don't care if I get money. And I told my partner, I said, don't you dare tell them that we did it. And I mowed that thing, I don't know how many times, and then a year later, I got married in the same church, and they never knew.
That's pretty cool, man.
That's too weird that you said that, because I did the same thing. There was this church I'd seen, a real small one, it was, you know, nice little church, you know, I didn't go to it or anything, but I passed by it, and I kept saying, you know, man, they need edging, and they need their grass cut, you know, so one day I'm out there, right, and I got my, and they were just down the road a little bit, so I did, I got finished cutting my grass, and then I was like, I threw it on the trailer, ran on down there, hopped on, took me all of 15 minutes, you know, really nothing.
Yeah, with a zero and, turn, right?
No, it is the regular riding, you know, Toro, but I mean, it was, I'm riding it. It's not like I'm pushing anything. I'm just driving it, you know. It's like, what's the big deal, you know? And then I hopped out. I had my old weed eater there, and he, you know, took out a couple edges, and I was done. Got out of there, and you know, did that probably six or seven times before I realized that somebody else was cutting it then and keeping it up. And so there was, I don't know what was going on. If there was just a maybe that strong something in that church that people don't, you know, maybe they mentioned it and said, well, thanks to this anonymous person or whatever. I don't know. But after about six or seven times.
they gave the thanks to God, and you know it, because they didn't know who else to
give.
When you give to God, you lend to the poor. When you lend to the poor, you give to God, and he pays you back 100-fold.
That's still...
I tell you what, my business boomed after that.
That's still an inspiring story, man. A lot of folks look at that as if it's no big deal. To me, it is a big deal. It's a huge deal. When Mr. E went over there and did what he did, you know, he just did it. And that's what needs to be done. When you see a problem out there in the world, instead of complaining to your local government, heck, get up off the couch, pick up a paintbrush, a rake, a broom, a mop, or whatever, and just do it. That's how things get done. You know, I believe, from my own personal beliefs, is that we are here to be caretakers of one another and caretakers of the land. And so if you see something broke, fix it. You know, if you want the world to be a better place, just do it. What do you think, Mipko? You go ahead, Abram.
You said, you know, start in your own backyard, right?
Yeah.
What you keep saying, this every week. You know, that's where you start there, and once you get that all straightened up and cleaned and dealt with, and got your stuff dealt with, then it's time to go deal with other people. You know, I'm like the guys have these lawnmower stories. It's so weird, like. You know, for years, I mean, most of you guys have seen my yard. It's kind of big. It's a lot of mowing and a lot of stuff to deal with. But for, you know, this summer and last summer is the first time I had a riding lawnmower. I used to push mow all this.
Wow.
People thought I was crazy. I live on a road.
I still think you're crazy for doing that.
Yeah, I know. People live on my road. They're millionaires. I'm pretty much probably the only person that mows their own yard where I live. You know, they pay people to come and do it. And they bitch and complain. They complain about it constantly, and they hire new people. And there's like a new mower guy mowing next door every other week because... I guess, anyway.
Well, I'll tell you, Ryan, when I look...
I push mode forever.
Go ahead, Mikko.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if you're asking for the song, what does it mean for me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, it explains my whole life. in a few words.
Well, see...
I've been... All my life, I've been like that. Always... believing in myself, basically.
You need to believe in yourself, Mitko. I often describe you to other people as a child prodigy.
I do too.
Yeah. Mitko's cool. Hey, Ryan, back on your deal. I've seen some of your videos when you showed your property out there, and it's beautiful out there, man. All you guys, if you only realized how truly blessed each and every one of us are, man. You know, we may not be millionaires by any stretch of the imagination, but who needs it? Because what we got right here is the best gold that you could ask for, you know. I mean, shoot, I got a friend named Ryan Abrams who's an awesome guy. I mean, I love watching his videos. I mean, he does some really cool stuff. He's my favorite mad science guy, you know. I got my buddy Coltis from Australia, and we keep meeting new friends every day, you know. Mitko, the young prodigy there, and Muddy, you know. What could you ask for? You couldn't ask for anything better than what we've got going on here. And so the whole purpose of me playing that song was to point that out to the world, is that, you know, it's us. It's we, all of us, you, the guys listening, the gals listening, that's going to make a difference in this world, you know. Like that little clip that Kent read for me of the dream, you know. If you guys haven't understood all the words, it's written down on the shows and hosts, and there's actually a clip where you can listen to it. But listen and read those words, man. If we're going to ever...
He hit a line with that one.
Yeah, he did. If anything in this world is ever going to get better, it's not going to be the government that's going to do it for you. It's going to be you.
No. They only have one agenda, mate, and it's got nothing to do with your health or safety. You know, you're expendable, man. We can just pay some teenage mother to pop out another one for us. We're fine. It's good.
We're a number. We're just a number to them.
Yeah.
That's all we are.
But to me, you're more than a number. To me, you're part of, you're that extra, that one gear You're that one gear in the machine, that one cog that makes the way it makes the machine function properly. Without you or Cultus or Larry or Muddy or Mr. E or Dieden or Mitko or Barry or any of these guys in here, none of this is possible without all of us. Yep. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's what makes the Knights of the Round Table.
There is a small group of us here right now that knows firsthand exactly how we all feed off each other. And that would be Dieden, Abram, Mitko gets involved there too. Now, when we sit down and discuss something we want to put together, and there's a couple of projects on the go that are multi people. Like we gotta remember
Benj.
Yeah,
remember Benj.
I'm getting to Benj in this story actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I was approached by a fella a couple of weeks ago, just before I was getting prepared to buy the bullet and have to leave the States and come back to Australia. And he was basically saying that he started producing his own vacuum tubes, and that if I needed anything custom made up, that he'd be happy to just put it together and send it on over to me. And I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool, because I've actually been playing around with in my head now for a fair while.
Well, we need an argon version of the Mercury Arc rectifier. That's what we need.
You just leave this with me, because I've procured the man to blow the glass and set the electrodes. I gathered the man to draw my blueprints for me from a discussion. All right, and then there's me, who's got this great big huge gigantic idea going on in his mind that he's just spewing out forth at people going, so what do you reckon? And we'll put that there, and we'll do this, and we'll do that. And Dodd's just sitting there going, okay, cool, I got all that written down. Buggers off, gets back to me 5 hours later. He's like, that's what I dropped, that's what we want. Yeah, I'm like, yep.
Cool.
But it wasn't, there was nothing, like literally, because we all pretty much work on similar devices, we're all aiming for the same end result. We all harbour a lot of the same theories through our self-education in the alternative free energy research. And so when we sit down, we sync. We're able to just sort of feed off each other. And the one huge key, I think, is that none of us ever bag each other out. We're always accepting and open to each other's ideas. If you get into a deep conversation with Dieden, and trust me, I don't think any of you have yet had the pleasure of a deep conversation with Dieden.
Oh, Colby, I talked to him twice
a day. Actually, there we go. I probably.
I've got in deep conversations with almost all you guys, I think.
So. Yeah. So you firsthand know what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
He's out there, dude. Like he's like Marco Roden out there, almost.
Well, that's
what separates us. That's what separates us from the run-of-the-mill science guy that's just reading in his book and following instructions.
The outside-the-box free thinkers is what is in this room right now. The outside-the-box free thinkers. And if our minds wander the galaxies to pick out the how things work, then so be it. If people think we're crazy, then let our actions be the one what speaks for what we do. You know, when we put devices in front of people that truly do work, and when we come together and make these things happen, and like you guys were saying, you went out and talked to a few people, and you got something happening. Each and every one of us have a talent and a skill. And
it probably cost $2,000 to go out and have this thing made.
But
just as a bit of a reference.
But pulling
it out, how it's going to be, and the detail that we'll need to go into it. It's probably at $2,000 worth of.
You know, and this is the same guy. I want everybody to know this, dude. Benj is the same guy that sent me a
the coil,
18-inch. Actually, his first and biggest vortex coil, because he was inspired by the fact that I sent Cultus some coils. it goes back to the beginning of this whole conversation.
The plan is forward.
Things, yeah, man, things go in circles.
You didn't directly monetarily or physically change something in his life.
No.
He changed something emotional in his heart by just having him observe your act of goodwill.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys.
It's been amazing that the people that I talked to and the things that have happened since I did that. And I got up one morning, I watched Dyden a video talking about cultists and what was going on, and then I watched Shannon's video, and then I just felt like, I don't know, man. I just felt like I needed to do something. I didn't know cultists. I didn't know Dyden. I didn't know Shannon. I didn't know anybody. I just felt like.
Well, you do now, brother. You're right at home.
I'm good at causing. I just figured I'd do something. I just shot myself over the
four letter ones.
Well, listen, guys. Yeah. Those of you who've noticed that this call that we're in, pretty much I started a new group this morning, and I won't say what the whole idea is, because it's going to be a behind the scenes kind of thing. But all you researchers out there who are interested in working together with other researchers, I have an idea that will fund every single one of your labs. And we can do this together. I know that we can do this together because we have the skills, we have the technology, and together we all have the tools. And so with that said, drag as many researchers as you want into this chat. And behind the scenes, we'll all get together when we can, and we will have a special meeting. And I'll present this idea to you, and we'll sort out the details. And I believe that this is a step forward towards what we were talking about, a centralized building or a place where we could come together and work and virtual labs and so on and so forth. But this is a solution to the problems that we all find. None of us have the funding to do things that we know in our head will work. I mean, we've got brilliant ideas and designs, and together we can debug these designs and we can make them work. And so,
exactly.
With that said, I started this lab funding project, and so if we all do this together, we will have the finances we need for each and every one of us to fund the projects that are in our minds that we want to build. And so, with that said, I won't go any further with that, but just bring any alternative energy researcher that you want and you trust and you think has something to contribute to this cause, because once we get started, it's a done deal. We're obligated. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Has anyone ever worked with a Peltius before?
The Peltius what?
Peltier Elements?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good stuff.
It's very, very interesting. With a solar connection, what you could do, either with hot or cold. I don't know if anyone's messed around with that, but I've got a few ideas. So, but I mean, I think that device just triggers a lot of ideas in anyone who knows what it is.
Well, there's an opportunity right there to reclaim all the energy that's lost in heat in any, motor vehicle or, anything
like that. I got a bag of ones.
Well, save all that for the lab, guys, because we got an opportunity here that if we take this opportunity together as researchers, and like I said, I want to get everyone in there, from Russ, from RWG, and Dyden, and all the guys that are...
He's actually... Russ is an exceptionally lucky young man. I can share this all with you now because it's out there. But he actually was offered a job doing his research full time.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he now works for Cleerwin.
But
I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he's a researcher working on unified theory. So he's brought Russ in to work on a particular device that he found very interesting. Correlation to their actual research they're doing, And he just set Russ up there with a workshop. And
regardless of all that, it goes back to the whole thing. One of us can accomplish some amazing things, but all of us can get it done. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep.
Who's the one working on the atmospheric pressure generator?
That'll be Cultus.
That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah. That's straight out of the Shrug right there. That's a John Galt device, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think last time I talked to you about it, or what I saw, I don't know if you've seen that movie or heard about it or not, but... But yeah, that was his idea as well. Was in the movie. It was a sci-fi book written back in the 50s.
Hey, it's there. Why don't we just take it? You know,
always there.
It's always there. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Yep.
Just there in an abundance during a lightning storm, but still exceptionally potent on a nice, bright, sunny day.
Yeah. Let me interject something here. As far as seeing as we're getting off into the inventions and different deals, things that have been around for ages and coupled together or joined together. I was talking to Larry Woods yesterday after the show, and his warm welcome over there in Indonesia, that kind of melted my heart when he started telling me all the things and everything. It was it was a bit extreme, and I thought it was great. The things rejected here because they're trying to stifle and shut things out here, they were readily received there. And also I want to say that I've seen a lot of magnet motors, and I looked at a lot of the theories and seen all them things and see how, and most of them are scams, and I'm real quick at analyzing, finding out who's telling gaga and who's telling the truth. And I haven't seen any magnet motors, but after talking to Larry for just a few minutes, we went on for almost an hour about it, and he was putting pieces of the puzzle in my head, and I gotta tell you the truth, I was getting dizzy.
Yeah,
I was getting dizzy with realization and all that. So there's one heck of a researcher right there. And also I was glad he was when y'all called, and the first face my eyes went to was Larry Woods. So over there in Knights of the Round Table, I decided to dub him Sir Larry, and so the announcement is the knight is already in the round table, and I thank him very much for showing up and sharing his technology.
Hear, hear. Well, guys, see, the thing is,
I was truly impressed.
What we're doing,
coming from me, a guy who slams all the dumb things down, coming from me, that's a great compliment. I have to say so myself.
What we're doing here is literally building the dream team, and this is profound, because everybody talks the talk, but nobody walks the walk, and we've been walking the walk since day one. And the more we walk it, the more people come in and join. And we're gonna succeed in all our research, because we have the dream team together, and it's gonna grow. What we see right here, as far as numbers wise, as researchers, there are many, many researchers out there. And like Muddy pointed out, there's knuckleheads out there that are putting things together and trying to, you know, shade their way through. But we're not gonna. We got ways by which we can pick those guys out and just move right along. The system is not one we're going to ask for permission. We're not going to go say, hey, Mr. Government Man, is it all right if we build this lab over here? No, we're just going to do it. You know, my property out here is not zoned. I don't have to ask for permission to build a house. I'll build a house. And I've done so. So, you know, as long as there's loopholes in the law, and they know the loopholes, and they use the loopholes against us, we'll use the same loopholes to get accomplished making the world a better place. And we will build a nice lab, and we will get these researchers from all over the world, and we will solve the problems in third world countries on how they can use it, cleaner energy, free energy, however you want to say it. See, I don't believe that we have an energy crisis in this world. I believe the only crisis is a knowledge crisis, that things have been suppressed.
Tyrannical government.
Yeah, exactly. You know, And then you got mainstream scientists who have literally sold out humanity because they don't put new information and research out there like they should to allow everybody to take that and run with it, you know? There's a couple companies out there, like the atmospheric researchers you was talking about, their cultists. They ask people to try to duplicate their work because it verifies their work, and that's what we're talking about. I don't care if they patent their work, but they're allowing us to duplicate it and prove it, you know? So, with that said, that's what we need, the open sharing of information. You know, I got something out here. I'm just going to put it out there on the table, and if you guys run with it, you know, the word came down to me, somebody going to try to steal one of my ideas and try to run with it, but hopefully they don't use this idea to take advantage of nobody, and if they do, then old King Shaziz the Terrible is going to come unglued on them. Because that's not what the idea is about.
I think that will be a team effort.
Well, that's a good thing. I think the idea is a idea for humanity, and if we together can build this idea and we can prove that it works and benefit the society, we put this information out there just like opening Pandora's box. Everybody knows that story. Once Pandora's box is open, there ain't no way you can get all those ideas back in that box. Does anybody disagree with that?
Nope. One bit.
Well, then that's the mission that we find ourselves in. And, you know, for those of you listening out there, go to ShazizRadio.com, jump over there to the shows and host, read the deal about the dream, check out the night's podcast, and just study what you see on that page. This is what we're about. And one of my favorite pictures on that page is a little bitty squirrel that's dressed up in a suit of armor. Because it says underneath there, or above it, I can't remember, but it says, even the smallest night can make a difference. And the same thing applies with the smallest of action, the smallest of words from each and every individual night out there, is that your words, your actions, they change the world, literally. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Everything that you do, whether it be positive or negative, will affect the entire world. Even if it takes a year to get around the other side of the planet, it's going to get there. Does anybody disagree with that?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, this is not off topic, but sort of a few. What I was going to say is that there was a movie I caught either yesterday or the day before. I was having a Netflix day, you know, just kind of hanging out, eating Cheetos, you know, watching movies. And... And next thing I know, I'm looking at a date stamp on when this Wild West type era was, and I realized, I was like, wow, I have lived a quarter of the time that it used to be that way, Wild West type setup, and I'm like, just a quarter my life, just one life, one person's life, at the time, what it was like when I was born versus what it is now. And it's just, it doesn't seem like it's happening, but then when you look around, you stop and you go, it's out there. Things have changed so much, you know, and you wonder, sometimes you just have to stop and look out the window and go, wow, man, things are happening at lightning pace.
And, oh, yeah.
I don't know, I was just floored with what has changed, and I could sit there and go, wow, are you kidding me? It was wagon trains and, you know, gunslingers and stuff. I mean, not that long ago.
Well, yeah. now we've got connections to some amazing technology, and we've got madmen at the wheel of the ship, you know. And so all of us who have looked out into the world and we've seen something's gone awry, we're up there trying to get a hold of the ship and steer it off in another direction, because I don't think there's one man or woman among us who could say that this world is going down a good path. And the only ones who have access to the ship's wheel at this point in time is us. You know, if we don't turn it now, they're going to look back on us like, you know, why didn't you guys stand up? Why didn't you try to defend freedom and knowledge for us? You know?
Yeah,
Well, you know what? You know what? I think that's kind of true, but you know, we don't really turn around and do that to the people in our path. We just say, you know, hey, they didn't know what they didn't know. You know, they didn't see it. You know, we can't really blame them. We don't know them, and we in their eyes, everything was kind of okay. You know, I mean, it didn't seem too bad, and then suddenly it got better and better, and then by comparison, when you look back, you go, wow, I can't believe I would ever live like that, you know, like without air conditioning or without TV or without radio or you know, all that stuff. And
well, I personally, a simpler time appeals to me. But I do like technology. Technology is cool because I like the way things work. You know, I got this thirst for knowledge. I just want to learn what makes the world tick, you know. And so with that said, while I have the opportunity and the knowledge that I've got that you know, pretty much has been, you know, given to me by my forefathers, is that I want to pass that down the line. Let somebody else enjoy what it is that I'm enjoying, you know. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah. I thought you were like, you know, kind of worried about people getting upset at people in the past for not doing more than what they could have done, and I think that's everyone's biggest complaint on their deathbed, is that they could have done so many things differently and been more assertive or been more aggressive and not become complacent in certain things.
Well, the thing is,
but I also don't see people looking back blaming, you know, the whole time when everything was racist and whenever it was segregation everywhere, and you know, it was bad, but we don't really point fingers because we understand that there was a different mindset back then.
No, and I agree
just
with
like there
you.
There is a certain mindset right now, and I don't think we're going to ever get blamed for not getting.
Well, I agree with you, but do you agree that you know, right now we're at the helm and we kind of guide the future destiny, you know, in a certain direction by what it is that we're doing today? You know?
I've got conflicting ideas on that, sort of, simply because there's sort of that whole predetermined destiny that is kind of kicking around there that deals, that really science is kind of proving with,
well, maybe
just the fact that, you know, the simple act of observing something changes the outcome and that you can't
maybe
do certain things.
Maybe, me, but
I was on my... Hold on. If to me, if I was on my deathbed and regretting things in life, it would be that I didn't get to share all of my knowledge with as many people as I can.
Yep.
It'd be a waste not to pass it on.
Yeah, and my deal is, if indeed we are even remotely responsible for making the world a better place for the future of humanity, I've got grandchildren. And the world that I see coming for them, it, by me doing nothing, is not a good world. The world I see for them, at least a ray of hope, by me doing something, is what I would like to at least attempt. And so with that said, whether or not I can actually affect destiny to the point where I make this world a better place, in my heart, it's a worth a try. Because if there is a slim chance, it's better than a none chance, if you understand what I'm saying.
You know what I think, it, as a whole, humanity, the more technology creeps into our lives, the more, and I know this is kind of weird to say, but the more wholesome and relaxed that people do get, because they have more time now to let their emotions feel for someone, because they now, everyone has the ability pretty much to help the other person. In the past, it was, you know, fight to live. It was, you know, everyone was it was cutthroat, you know, it was survival. Now, survival's not our priority anymore. Survival is like kind of hey, yeah, you know, we try not to die, but meanwhile, we're too busy watching movies and you know, just interacting with social media. I mean, you know, as a whole, in the world in general, it continuously gets more and more comfortable for the average person. Keeps getting, you know, a little bit more plentiful. There's a lot of threats out there that can take that away, and a lot of people don't like that, you know, other countries and whatnot. But in the whole, we've gotten a lot more loving as a society. We've gotten a lot more, there's a lot more people on the planet now. And I see the wind, you know, at the tip of the scale there, that you don't walk down the street in pretty much any country and see nothing but hatred there, except for in war zones, you know. And but for the most part, everyone's there, and they're, if they've got the ability to help you, they will, without thinking twice, you know.
Well,
and I like that about humanity.
As long as
I don't think there's a belief or doom kind of thing going on at all, I think it'll eventually work out really well.
As long as we keep the ball rolling and hope and dreams alive, that's to me what it's all about, you know. I know there's things going on in this world, and I want to do something about it. I don't want anybody in this world to starve to death. I don't want anybody in this world to do without. And, you know, since I've been truly blessed in my life, I got a wonderful family. I own my own property.
So
I live out in the country, and I got all these friends from all over the world. You know, we see the world as it should be. We're not talking about trying to build a one world government. We're trying to get a one world idea together that's going to empower the individual to not only believe in themselves, but to get up there and use their talents and their skills and their gifts to go out and make the world a better place. Nobody's
yep.
going to do it. And that's what I was talking about when I said that, you know, we're laying the paving stones down. If we all just run around cussing and raising a ruckus all day long, you know, what our children going to learn is cussing and raising a ruckus all day long. And they're going to teach that and pass it on down to their children. But if us, while we have the chance to actually turn that wheel and steer the ship of humanity off in a different direction, we live our lives true to our beliefs and do act, you know, lead by example, then our children are more apt to lead by example in the future. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about for me. It's not about trying to become famous or rich or anything like that. It's about, you know, I've been down a road in my life, you know. I didn't listen to my elders as much as I should have, and so I went down a rough road, just like all y'all have. Each and every one of us got stories to tell on that front. But, you know, what they did for me is they did put those stepping stones out there that gave me the opportunity to stand here and talk with you guys. And, of course, after I got to a certain age, I started controlling my own destiny, you know. And I looked back at my life and analyzed my actions and my words. And I wasn't necessarily impressed with the life that I led beforehand. But now that I've gotten some wisdom and I've grown older and I see that society is going down a path that, you know, whenever I was being raised up, we used to say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and we opened doors for ladies and that kind of stuff. That was kind of cool back then, you know? And it showed some respect for one another. And the further we get away...
That around, huh?
Yeah, we do. There are still, like I say, there's good people in every nation. You know, you're going to find bad people. But to balance that scale out, it means that you get off the couch and you do something good as opposed to doing something stupid. You know what I mean?
Well, that ruins tomorrow for me.
Well, was you going to go out egging somebody's house?
Not for me. I had a whole day full of carnage planned. Now I can't do it.
Well, I was just going to get out of the streets and make shenanigans. But, well, fine.
I want to say
play shenanigans.
The children part, you know, first and foremost, I'm a father. That's all. That's my job. You know, I have to run tests and do all this stuff and talk to people and do what we're doing and whatever. But the main part of it is it's just them, you know. Just keep saying like the future. Yeah, that it stares at me every day. It's staring at me. Well, there one of them walked by, but anyway, you know, and I may run tests and do this. You know, the greatest test I'll ever run is being a dad. I mean, I you know, I'm almost as clueless about that as I am with a lot of other stuff. And I learn every day different things and how to, what to do and what to say to them. And, you know, that's why I do what I do.
Well, being a dad didn't come with an owner's manual.
Yeah, it does. I know, it doesn't. It comes with
Well, yeah, it's different, you know. I've got two boys and a girl, so I get to experience it all, you know, and it's going to be fun. I've said before, I've made a lot of cool things, you know, the coolest things I've ever made with them. So
with kids, you're not just training the kids. You're doing most. You're getting most of the training.
It's amazing.
Well, how about this, guys? How about we sit back and absorb some of this brilliance during a music break and refresh our coffee and come back and hit this head on, because I think we're on a roll here, you know. And
we are.
This is Knights 96, you know. And boy, I'm looking forward to Knights 100. I think we ought to make it a special event, because that's a big stepping stone. A lot of ideas pass through the Knights of the Round Table. And for those of you out there listening, to become a Knight of the Round Table is simply as easy as stepping to the table and having a seat with your brothers and sisters around the world. We want dames at the table. We want knights at the table. We want brilliant thinkers and people who have love to share to the world some sort of positive pebble to throw in the pond. And if you got the strength to throw a boulder of positivity out there in the world, so be it. If I get hit by a tsunami of love, I think I can handle that. What about you guys?
I don't know about a whole tsunami. Maybe half.
I'll take a tsunami if she offers it.
Drown me.
All right. Well, with that said,
I don't know what you just did to that chiz, but you ruined it.
All right. Well, with that said, guys, let's.
I can dream.
Let's take a. What you mean, my song?
Yeah. King Shaziz, the Terrible, and Company, I Can Dream.
Okay, well, I'll let everybody hear me sing then.
Awesome.
All right, well, here we go. Plus, I put one in there for Muddy, because he's always asking about it. Anyway, we got some tunes in line, so everybody stay tuned. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. It's been a great show so far. He's already singing it. All right, here we go.
We'll be right back. Vision Studio. World is sick, this is the part coming up down. World is sick, this is the part coming up down. World is sick, this is the part coming up down. World is sick, this is the part coming up down. What did I just say?
I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.5 gigawatts of electricity I need. This is for electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts.
Fight!
That's right, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with King Shaziz the Terrible. I rule with an iron fist, and don't you forget it. I think I heard that. Anyway, we got a fascinating conversation going on, man. This is just, we actually, during the break, we were talking about roasting marshmallows and cooking turkeys with Tesla coils. That ought to be an interesting video.
Oh, I think so.
Hey, you
Terry,
know,
if you're listening, Terry, go get a turkey and cook it on Chrome. Anyway.
Yeah.
I know he's listening. Which he was on. Cool.
Well, the system that I saw the other day, I saw a video the other day. Now, keep in mind, when you see something on YouTube, you gotta test it to find out what's going on, what ain't. But they were showing a McDonald's hamburger, McDonald's French fries that was like 4 years old and not rotted or molded. I mean, that's kind of disturbing, man.
This guy's got one, and it's for real. It's 20 years old. A
man.
Cheeseburger. And it looks exactly like it would, like you bought it right now.
What?
Smaller, right?
What are they putting in that stuff, man?
Jeez. Well, I know the meat has worm, like actual like mealworm in the ground beef. They mix that into it, so you know.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Pieces of fondue as a protein. You can actually pull the fondue out of a McDonald's hamburger. You can actually see it and squeeze it as sponge that they're allowed to mix into the meat as filler.
Ew. That's disgusting. Well, you know, that's it. That's it. We're all going to have to get our gardens going and eat healthy, man. And because, like I said, the system out there, you go around there, you eat this system's food, you follow the system's regulations and rules and all that kind of stuff. And what's it got you so far, you know? I'm not talking total anarchy. I'm talking about, you know, putting an alternative out there as opposed to going out there, man. After I saw that video, I don't think I want to go to McDonald's anymore, man.
Think about that. Well, that is marketed for the children, you know?
Yeah.
They're feeding our kids that.
I mean, if we can make a muddy breakfast with a Tesla coil, which consists of coffee, oatmeal, sugar, and peanut butter, then I'll be impressed.
Yeah, something that's going to digest in your system and not like come out like a brick out the other end or something like that, man. Could be worse. You wake up in the morning with a third eye. Uh-oh. Looks like the call dropped on me. Doggone it. About to wait for it to get back here. Yeah. Hate it when that happens. Anyway, somebody must got mad because we were talking about McDonald's.
And what did he say of calling when you met?
Oh, a cup of coffee. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Somebody must have got mad because we were cracking on McDonald's because I had a problem with the call just then. So, you know, hey, let them have their hamburgers. We'll cook some breakfast like I saw in one of Cultus's videos. I got ripped off. You were down here and I didn't get one of them breakfasts.
You didn't have a boy going.
Oh, man. See, well.
Dude,
well, next time you're out here.
Next time, you're going to make sure we have a big bonfire.
Yeah, I can do that. I got plenty of wood around here.
And then I just need onion foil and bread and bits and pieces like that.
We'll work that out, man. That's a must.
I just lost everybody.
Hey, you seem to be dropping in and out a little. I'm just sort of watching people drop off and come back and drop off.
I lost
you for a while, then I lost Buddy for a bit.
They didn't like us talking about McDonald's, man. We're cracking on McDonald's.
Did we bag out a major corporation?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Over a billion served.
Well, the CIA guy. Hey.
Which means what? Over 33 pieces of phone sold.
I worked at McDonald's when it said 25,000 served.
Man. Well, the CIA guy that was blopping on our conversation here, he was sitting back eating one of them Big Macs and didn't like what we had to say, and so he did his deal there. So I think that's what's going on. There's another conspiracy.
He's not getting foam in his burgers anymore. Thank you very much.
The McDonald's CIA connection.
What's the joy about getting double?
Double cheeseburger with a side of sponge.
Yeah.
Annie and I don't eat at McDonald's or Burger King anymore.
because we're not cannibals in training, and we found out there's human DNA in the meat, so I don't like to eat people, you know.
Ew, that's
Justin
disgusting.
Be Soylent Green.
That's disgusting.
Beef because they buy their meat from the 100% beef company.
That's right. Yep. Exactly. And here in Australia, it's owned by a company called 100% Australian Beef.
Which now we know where all the missing people are going.
Which
to.
Is kangaroos?
They're in the food.
Going to McDonald's.
Well, if you'd like to taste any of us during the week in a Big Mac, we'll be appearing at the Kansas City McDonald's.
Oh, man. All right, so what we got in
here? Here's an even more disturbing fact that I discovered was that Pepsi, and I went on Snopes to see what they had to say about it, because, you know, you hear these stories and they're like urban legends. But no, and what killed me was that I can't really trust Snopes anymore, because they say, first of all, when you go on there about the Pepsi product using human aborted fetus cells as flavor enhancers.
That's disgusting.
And it's part of their flavor enhancement. It's from their a sub company that they contracted for flavor enhancement chemicals, and they are the ones that use it. And so, and Pepsi, it's true that they do use it. So when I went on Snopes, it says no, that's false. But then when you read what it says about it, if you do a quick, you know, Cliff Notes version, then it'll just tell you, no, that's false. But when you read it, they say, no, they don't use human fetus cells as flavor enhancers. What they do is they use human fetus cells as flavor enhancers. And you're like, wait, what? Like, it just said that was false, and now you're turning around and saying, yes, that's exactly what they do.
I don't know.
Like they don't want to get sued by saying that it's true. You know, so the website.
I don't know.
Wasn't Pepsi owned by vampires?
I don't know. Listen, guys.
I'm so confused.
No. Hang on. Hold on a second.
Hold on a second. I don't know about all this other stuff in the stuff, but there's a YouTuber out there called Crazy Russian Hacker. If you haven't subscribed to his channel, he's cool. But he showed, he boiled down some doggone soda and showed how much cruddy black sugar is in there by the time it's all boiled down. And, man, if you're drinking that much sugar in a day, there ain't no wonder why so many people are becoming diabetics and, you know, unhealthy. That's throwing your chemistry out of whack, as far as I'm concerned.
This is what I'm most interested in. If they're using human fetus cells as flavor enhancers.
Aborted.
Okay. Yep. And
they use them for makeup too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But how are they getting? How are they getting from where this happens?
They do that for the sake of the lizard head, so they can have something to drink.
Yeah. But who has the job and lives with themselves that knows that they're putting aborted fetus cells into a jar and sending them off to Pepsi?
That's disgusting, man.
Vampires, like I said.
Did you guys ever see that movie where that guy had them glasses where he could actually see, you know, difference in people?
Yeah, Roddy Piper, man.
The rest.
We need some glasses like that.
They live. Yeah.
Somebody put that together in their lab.
Anyway,
we need some glasses like that, because if there's lizard people around here doing nasty stuff, I don't want to eat none of their food. That's disgusting, man.
I think we got the glasses on already, Jesus.
Yeah, we need lizard
we
traps.
Need glasses out.
They're the dead. They're the walking dead. They're not necessarily lizard people. They're not like us, and they're everywhere.
And I think by the end of that movie, they had already come up with contact lenses to use. So yeah. All right.
I think all you don't need the glasses. All I think you need is that aluminum foil hat.
Well, I got one. I got a crown. Did you guys ever see my video called King Tinfoil?
No, I saw Dark Fro though.
The funny one, Dark Fro. That's my Darth Vader.
Oh,
but go look at the video. King Tinfoil responds. It's pretty funny.
I did a video called Tinfoiling Cat and other revelations or revelations.
Has anybody ever wore a tinfoil hat for like 3 days in a row?
No.
What a difference!
Hey, I will. If I might say something about McDonald's defense. They have been honest. You know this sign, how it says, like, so many millions of people served?
Billions, I think it's at.
Well,
you're right.
They're not talking about the people who eat at McDonald's.
They're talking
about the people they've ground up into the food. Like that old Twilight Zone TV show. They did an episode about these aliens that land, and they had this book called How to Serve Men. How to Serve Man. And in the end of it, you find out that all the people that got on the spaceship and went, they were going to be cooked and eaten. It's a cookbook, How to Serve Man.
Well, is there...
like 101 ways to walk your dog.
Is there any fast food restaurant out there that's safe to eat at? And is there any restaurant that's safe to eat at? That's what I want to know.
Probably a no-name one. Any one that's within the New World Order.
Mom and pop restaurants.
Yeah. Right.
Franchise. My wife's parents own one of those. They've owned it for 30 years. And we've taken a hit because of all the... Yeah, there's like 35, 40 restaurants in my little town, and they're all franchises.
Mom and pop store food is the best. Small independent restaurants are the best.
All right, well, I don't want to get eaten, and I don't want to eat nobody else, so I'm going to grow me a big, giant garden.
Have you ever seen the pictures of all the different logos that are all a part of the New World Order that have bowed to the Trilateral Commission and the, and you know, Rockefeller believes that competition's a sin, so if you're not going to play ball, they either buy you out, threaten you, or they bankrupt or hostile take over your company. That's why we don't have Grants or Woolworths or John Todd and others have explained this. You do not get to be a giant in entertainment or in business unless you are willing to sell your soul and go along with their global government
and crush people in your wake. Yeah, that's how people.
This duality. Make it like you have a choice.
Speaking of entertainment,
pocket.
Speaking of entertainment, I came in my house the other day. I got a TV in my bedroom, and so when I'm getting ready to go to sleep at night, I usually turn the TV on to see what they're lying about on the news. And the very first thing I hear, because I got in late, there was a show called Red Eye on. The very first thing that I heard out of their mouths was that they used the C word for, you know, number two. All right, they said if you really have to take a, you know what. And then they had this, it was like a commercial for outhouses or something like that. And I just immediately walked back over and turned the TV off. I mean, I'm like, come on, man. For real?
I saw that.
This is the best that they can do.
That's a rude show. To be fair, that is a very rude, crap. Funny, I like the main guy, Greg, that hosts it, because he does poke fun at 90% of the crap that's going on out there. And it just is, I don't know, it can be a little offensive, but for the most part...
My whole deal was this, man. Listen.
A person on me. Listen. Why is that?
Before my point gets run downstream here, this is what got me about the whole deal. Was, you know, I sit around and listen to these guys. They're kind of cool to listen to once in a while. But the whole thing is... It might not have been me turning that TV on. It might have been my kid, you know? And so now my kid goes to school, and instead of telling the teacher he got to go to the bathroom, he's going to tell the teacher he's got to take a you-know-what. And so therein lies the responsibility, or lack thereof, of the mainstream media, that they'll put any kind of trash on there for ratings. And how is that in any way benefiting any portion of society? You know, it's just
it's not.
When these guys do what they do.
Well, the technology allows you as a parent to filter all that with modern technology and modern TVs.
Yeah, but I shouldn't have to go in there.
But then again, as an adult, shouldn't you be allowed to be an adult and talk as an adult? And if you feel like you want to watch something or whatever, that you should have access to that and not have it filtered
if you talk to your friends.
He's talking about children.
Listen, if you
talk to children.
But I'm talking about as an adult. I mean, there are children.
Sure, but listen. Listen.
Why do we have teachers?
Sure, you're supposed to. You could be able to go out there when you're amongst your friends and talk, and if all your friends don't mind, you can go in there and you can cuss up and down a storm. There ain't no censorship involved in it. And I'm not necessarily talking about censorship per se. I'm talking about responsibility. What comes out of your mouth is going to make a difference in somebody's life. And so if the first thing you hear when you turn the TV on is if you really got to take a, you know what, you know, buy this particular brand of outhouse, and, you know, okay, adults might find that funny, all right? Or they might not find it funny. But either way, the responsibility of what you just put out there into the public, you know, is just, you know, basically I'm going around in your neighborhood and I'm throwing my McDonald's wrapper trash in your driveway or whatever as I drive by. No big deal, because I'm not the one going to be picking it up. You're going to be the one picking it up. It's your driveway.
I'm next.
It's your trash.
Right. Does anybody here think that children should be allowed into bars or strip joints, that they should be able to just walk in? Or that teachers should be teaching children how to masturbate or fist or put condoms on
broomsticks? Well, don't go so graphic and all that deal. I know what you're saying, but don't do that. I mean, look, I don't want to. I know, but on the Knights of the Round Table, I don't want to feed that disgust. That's why whenever I said the word,
feed the beast.
I changed the way I said it. I didn't come out and say the actual word that they said. I said, you know, when you got to do whatever, you know, you buy this particular brand of outhouse. When you find yourself falling to the level of throwing the same trash out in order to try to explain to individuals out there in the world, you're just feeding that system. And I don't want to feed that system.
No, yeah. We're trying to expose that shouldn't be in front of children or in schools, that's all.
Well, I agree.
That's all I would say. I
agree.
I got rid of my TVs long before Homeland Insecurity started. And back when the daytime cartoons that the kids were watching and talking about was South Park.
Right.
That language,
well, that's disgusting.
The subject. Oh yeah, it was. It's really crazy. And I can't think of the other one there with that fat guy, Family Guy. That's what it is. My goodness. Look, I got seven TVs. I got seven TVs outside and zero in my house, and I will not bring it in again.
I have not had a cable or normal TV for.
Can somebody add
Mitko? My children do not watch.
Can somebody add Mitko Dublin and Tom Sharp to the call?
All right.
Well, look, guys. This is what
you're
I'm trying
in,
to say.
You're in the call.
I'm not trying to censor anybody. You know, that's not what it's all about. But when I'm talking to you guys, I'm going to talk to you guys in a respectful manner. I don't have to use filthy language to get my point across to you. I want to respect, because I don't know your beliefs. I don't know what you will agree to or don't agree to, as far as, you know, if I come around and I'm cussing like a sailor and you don't tell me that, hey, you know, that, you don't got to go that route. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to give you the respect, because that's what I want in return. And whenever I turn
right,
on...
Was someone cussing?
Yeah.
No.
It all came down from this. It all came down from
earlier.
This. It all came down from this
lying.
Deal.
Shame on you.
Listen.
I know.
It all came down from this deal. I turned the TV on. I heard this and immediately went around and turned the TV right back off. And it wasn't because I'm not an adult enough to understand and I can hear that kind of language. It's the fact that my child may have been the one that lifted that, pushed that button and turned that TV on. You see what I'm saying? There's the difference between...
I apologize if I was a little graphic, but I was taking what you said about they're talking about outhouses and crapping, and I was mentioning that it's way worse than that. I mean, their agenda is to corrupt the children of the world. They put it in all of their documents. They don't want families and moral values. They want your children and everybody's to be involved in an orgiastic type lifestyle, and everything goes.
And there's where
let me interject one more thing. There was a thing about parental control sets and stuff on TVs. Well, yeah, I've got those, and I have had children, and we have. Listen, I could put those on, and certain channels come up. It doesn't filter out.
Neither does the internet.
You can set it to where they only have one channel to watch. I mean, that's fine, but if you put it on a setting where you leave it up to the Xbox to do it, it's not going to do it right. Watch. I mean, there's stuff I've walked in and I'm looking at and going, what is this? And just the video games, they market for 10-year-old kids.
Well, if you want to help the kids.
More violent and crazier than anything we grew up with, I can tell you that.
Type an innocent term into a search engine.
Yep.
And pornography comes up,
yep.
And there's no age check or nothing. Imagine if your kid is like 10 years old, comes home from school, and mommy and daddy are still working. Then it warps their mind, and they start thinking that's how you men and women should treat each other, with no respect that sex isn't sacred between a husband and a wife, and that you should just do anything with anybody, and don't worry about disease. Like that, if I was the devil type thing, everything he said in 1965 has come true.
Yeah, but if you want to protect the children, the best way you're going to protect the children, I know I wouldn't allow my children to turn the TV on unless I was going to make sure that there was something on there that was good for them to watch. But, you know,
right.
It doesn't just...
Tinfoil hats,
it
right,
doesn't,
buddy? That's the best way to protect your children.
It doesn't
hats
just,
and locks on
yep.
the power button.
It doesn't just stop. It doesn't just stop at the TV set. It's what these kids are being taught in schools, you know. And
it's the South Park mentality.
Yeah.
It's the South Park society now. The kids were coming out of Catholic school years ago, right? You're talking about cussing? I'm going to the Chinese restaurant. There's a Catholic church next door and a school, and they're coming out, right? And what they came out of those little kids' mouths made my ears curdle.
Yeah, well, they're trying to teach kids that when you smoke candy cigarettes when we were kids, if you smoke or steal booze from mom and dad and you swear like a sailor, then you're cool. You're a big boy. You're a big girl.
Well, who's the
one? We all went through that.
Who's the ones that can fix this? Who is the best protector of your children?
The parents are irresponsible.
Well, you know
these
what?
These rock and roll people like we are never grew up, they're dysfunctional, they've been programmed by TV, and now they're so busy trying to just crap, you know, pay the rent and keep a roof over their head.
They don't have time. They want to be the cool parents.
All right,
the
but
television
listen.
Raises
listen.
Their children and the school teachers.
Wherein lies the solution to the problem that we're talking about? It is you, the individual. If you're looking into your family and you don't like what your family is going down the bad road, then you got to steer that family off to the different direction. And that's what I believe we're doing right here, is trying to steer our world family to a different direction as opposed to what we're seeing. So my point was, by bringing up that deal that I saw on the TV, wasn't to start a controversy to take us down a road like this, but it was to point out that the responsibility lies in each and every individual. I walked over there and turned the TV off, man. I mean, because the first thing I got wasn't news. It wasn't nothing relevant to things that I need to know. It was just flat out trash, you know?
All TV is flat out trash, and the History Channel is lies, telling us ancient astronauts, Anunnaki, created us, and they're coming back soon.
Well, in the,
oh,
at
yeah,
the
that's,
TV.
That's almost as bad.
At
you
the
know,
end of the day.
The responsibility
listen.
Lies with the people of the world that need to get rid of these conglomerate sellout TV companies and the big networks who are all complicit in this genocide that has been taking place since before we were born.
And how do you do that? You turn the TV off and you walk away from the beast. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you, the individual. Talking about taking your kids away from the beast. walk away from it. You know, there's alternative education, there's alternative medicine, there's alternative food, there's alternative science, there's alternative energy. And these are what these networks are all about. Alternatives to what this stuff is going on out there. I mean, if you approve, if you're that warped and you're and this is something that you enjoy, you know, then you're going down the path that you're going down. And I feel bad for you, brother. But, you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to put the stepping stones out there to turn this boat around before it goes down that path. And if we ain't out there doing this, if we stop doing what it is that we're doing and bringing all these people together and sitting down at the table and having these ideas, then we just basically let go of the wheel and let whoever's driving go wherever they want. You know, I don't want to go off the cliff like Thelma and Louise.
I think that we have to call attention to the awful things, and to steer around them is to, like, pretend it's not there, but we can do it in a respectful way,
yeah,
can't we?
That's my point.
I want an Amish babysitter,
You know, when I talk to my friends out here, you know, all you guys, it's an honor. I'm humbled by the experience. I'm humbled by the fact that you even want to hear anything that I got to say. And so when I talk to you, I'm going to talk to you in the most respectful manner that I can possibly talk to you in. And, you know, that's the way we're going to guide our system down a different direction as opposed to the way these guys do it. I mean, you teach people how to treat you, and so these media companies out here that are putting all this trash, they know they're getting ratings. And so they'll keep on saying it. And it'll keep on getting worse. It's like, I don't remember which one of y'all said it, but one of you guys,
rated and arrested.
Yeah, I agree, brother. But listen, one of you guys said this a long time ago about how the difference between radio in the old days and TV in the old days, you couldn't have got by with half of what these guys get by with now. And so, if that is a sign of a deteriorating society, and I'm not talking about taking away somebody's freedom of expression or freedom of speech or anything like that. I'm talking about back then they had a little bit of responsibility, whereas opposed to modern-day society and all these networks that came before us here, they all failed. And they all failed for the same reason that the mainstream media failed at. You see what I'm saying?
So I was using... They don't take one step further, and I asked, do you think that we should just... What they've done is open up the liquor stores and the porno shops and strip clubs and sex clubs to our children by virtue of the television and the internet. And we know that's wrong.
Yeah, so we do. And we got to speak out against it.
Criminal what they're doing. Yeah, if a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old who just got out of third grade walks down the street and walks in up to a bouncer at a strip club, they're not going to let him walk in. They're going to say, what are you doing, kid? You know? Yeah. They're not going to let him walk in, but your kid can come home and see worse than what he'd see in a strip club on the internet.
Yeah.
Or they'll watch TV and seeing a commercial for a gadget called the Twister. And it's like...
I got a solution for y'all.
It's done by design.
When you open up your browser after your kid's been on there, click that button that says history.
Yep.
And look at it. And then bring him in and say, what's this? You got to tell him. You got to tell him.
You
say, I don't want to see this.
They create a society with no morals, a moralist society, and then it's, to be honest, it sounds like it would be easy to control something like that. Like, oh,
that
would have
video games and murder and killing movies.
For example, soon
it's not just going to be stuff on the internet and TV, because
the number one selling video game in the world is Grand Theft Auto. Period.
Right,
that thing has sold more copies than like albums from Michael Jackson and stuff. I mean, that game is running around and killing people.
All right, guys, we're talking over each other. Listen. We're talking over each other again, and here's the thing, you know, when I said I shouldn't have to monitor my kids watching TV. Those folks on the other side should have a little bit of responsibility. I know that I have to monitor my kids when watching TV because of what I see on TV, but I should not have to. In a perfect world, people on the other side of that microphone or people on the other side of that TV should have the responsibility to understand that somebody on the other side might not be old enough to see the trash or hear the trash that they're spewing out. And therein lies the difference of the time back whenever I was a kid when the FCC would come in, kick somebody's door in and take their equipment out of the building because they said something filthy on air. There's the difference in the whole system.
The thing is, if they don't care, Shaz.
Well, I know.
That's their goal. They want to pervert society. They're with the bad guys, man. They're Luciferian.
Nobody.
They're controlled by them.
Nobody's disagreeing with you, Rick. Nobody. We're all in agreement. What I'm saying.
About the money and
listen.
No. They want children to be. They want children
to be, like
to
the
be
kids
sexualized
on
because most of these people in these secret societies are pedophiles.
Nobody.
They want the cell phone society.
I understand what you're saying, and nobody, and I mean nobody here is disagreeing with you. What I'm trying to say is, my point is, the only ones who can fix this is each and every individual. It always comes back to each and every individual. You know the way society is. You have to monitor society. You have to monitor what your kids are learning in school. And if you want your kids to grow up in a certain way, you even got to monitor the friends they're hanging around. If your kid is hanging around a foul-mouthed heathen, then either stand there and have a talk with that foul-mouthed heathen and say, we don't allow that around our house, and, you know, you're welcome over here as long as you can respect each other and that kind of stuff. You know? But it all boils down to, if you're going to feed the beast is going to live. We're talking about walking away from the beast. We're talking about creating an alternative energy system away from... We're not asking the government for permission not to teach our kids trash. We're just not going to allow the government to teach our kids trash. There's where the difference is.
What do you guys think? What do you all think? I'd like to know all your opinion about if the justice system is corrupt, and the police will not arrest these people involved in 9/11 conspiracy and all this stuff that we're talking about. Don't you think it's our personal responsibility to rise up and stop doing citizens' arrests with massive groups of people?
Well, we can't do
stopping
that.
Seizing their television stations, seizing their property, arresting them and saying, listen, we have evidence that you are
understandably
involved in this conspiracy.
But you can't go up against an army with an army of four unless you're already armed with knowledge of what you need to be doing. And this is what we're building out here, is a network of brilliant minds. And so with that said, instead of us going out there to attack or lynch or shoot up the government or throw them in jail, I know you're not, but listen, I know you're not, but I'm saying, the only way that we're going to step away from the doggone beast is to do what we're doing and step away from it. You know, we don't have to agree with it, we don't have to even give them credit for their lies and propaganda. We need to create our own system side by side, right underneath their nose, and come up, rise, you know, out of the ashes of what we call our life, and make this world a better place without asking for permission or consent. We need to just do it, and that's what I believe that we're on the track to do. Whew!
Is that being disruptive or something?
No. Look, I'm passionate, Rick. It's not. I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm on attack or anything. I'm just saying that I don't want to drag the Knights of the Round Table down a hole where when we point stuff out, we say, look, there's some bad stuff going on, and we got to fix it. You know. But I don't want to
go... So you were talking about an outhouse. They were talking about outhouses.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, man, they're doing worse than that in our own school system. And people are allowing it. I think the real problem is the brainwashed people that allow stuff like this in public school. Everybody should be ripping their children out of public school and saying, if you're going to teach this garbage, none of us are bringing our kids to this school ever again.
Exactly.
And force them to perform.
Exactly. Tom Sharp showed up in here.
No, they'll come and arrest me if I pull my kid out of school when he's not going to school. Well, that's the way it is in my
state. That's where you need to stand together with your community, and when somebody tries to do that to your neighbors, you stand as a community and you go up to that school because you hired them, you had the right to fire them. So, with that said, Tom Sharp is in here, and I'm sure he's got something he wanted to put in there. You there, brother?
Oh, I'm here. I'm just kind of listening along.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I definitely think it's a little absurd, some of the things, but definitely it's going to take a lot to change it. And just like you say, Shaz, there's not too much that just sitting here and yelling about it's going to do. We've got to kind of get out there and put forward a plan.
Yeah, we got to get up there with our communities. We got to get off our couches. We got to shut off our TVs. If we don't approve what we're watching on TV, then we got to shut them off, throw them out the window, over the cliff, or whatever, and just start doing what's right. You know, take our technology and create our own TV stations, create our own radio networks, and do what it is that we're doing out here. We're on the right track, and we don't need to feed the beast on the way. We need to point out their corruption and say, look, you know, that's what's happening on the other side over there. You can either go choose that side over there, or you can come over here and walk into the future with us in a positive manner, and we'll respect each other's beliefs and work together and make this world a better place as opposed to the trash that they're doing. You know, if I see aliens out there, I'm going to tell everyone, I saw aliens. You know, they may not believe me, but I'll show them hardcore proof. If I see it, it's there. But in the meantime, right now, everyone out there needs free energy. Everyone out there needs alternative medicine, because when you go to the doctor's office, it's barbaric some of the things that they do to people. They use radiation to kill damaged cells, and in the same process making little kids' hair fall out, you know, and ruining their immune system. Whereas opposed, there's other alternative cures, which I'm sure some of you've heard of, you know, things like hemp oil and stuff like that. And I don't want to go down that track because we're getting short on time. But there are alternatives to killing people with stupidity. And that's what these brilliant minds here are doing, is trying to show there is something different other than the system out there. Walk away from that system. You know, stand with us, your brothers and sisters around the world. Not under a one-world government, but under a one-world idea of a united dream to make this world a better place for our kids that are coming down the line. Otherwise, by the time that we're all gone, each and every one of us, at the age that we're at right now, and our children's children are up here in this world, the filth that they have to contend with, they might look as if it's just perfectly natural to come around there and spit in your brother's face and punch him in the eye and rob and rape and loot and pillage. Is that the kind of world that you want? A post-apocalyptic style world, road warrior, whatever, that you want your children to live in? I don't think so. I think each and every one of us are on the same page. We look into the eyes of our children, and we want something better for them than the stuff that we've been lied to about and manipulated and cheated and stole from and enslaved from the day that we were born, from birth to grave. You remember that? That was their deal.
Yeah. Well, their deal is they have done this incrementally, and what they do is they push the envelope a little bit, and when we don't object as a group, as a society, then they push it a little further.
Yeah.
We don't object. And then they push it a little further. So we've gone from Leave It to Beaver to the point now where, like, I just mentioned something, and I wasn't trying to bring everybody down, and I'm not feeding the beast. This needs to be exposed so that anybody listening will say, you know what? He's right, man. My kid's looking at this stuff probably while I'm working. I don't want my kid's learning stuff like that in school. I need to find out what they talk, sit my kid down and say, does your teacher talk about these things or that thing?
Exactly. That's it. That's it right there. That's the key.
But I mean,
do you play chess?
I'm not feeding the beast by talking about it.
No, I'm saying it's all in the power of the words, man. You know, like,
right.
You're talking about fisting and stuff like that, and right out of the gate, because I
but
got
that's
a super...
not a swear word.
No, it's not. No, listen, don't. Rick, it's not. And I'm not upset at you or even remotely. I'm passionate about this whole deal because I don't want to give them the pleasure of me repeating the trash in that manner. And I'm not exactly sure how to rephrase this. But
maybe I can have it, guys.
Well, hold on. Let me finish this.
The only way anyone ever learns anything is by being shown and seeing it or hearing it.
Yeah.
So if we're sitting here and we're repeating those phrases, whether they're swear words or not, if we sit here and repeat those things over, you know, it does grow awareness. People do understand what the trouble is and what's going on, but it also exposes them to it.
Well, yeah.
How would you say?
Listen, this is on in my house right now. That. I'm just going to say this. I have young children walking back and forth in the bathroom. I can hear these. It's on speakers, you know. So thank goodness my son didn't walk by, and I have to go. My 8-year-old and go explain what you said, Nick, to him. That would be a really fun day for me, and that's kind of what I think Shaziz is trying to say.
Yeah.
That we know what's going on, but we just don't want to verbally glorify it hours of time we have on Sunday.
Treat it like a bad dog who won't.
One last point. Okay, do you guys play? Any of you guys play chess?
Love a good game of chess.
All right. Well, these guys out there, they do things like Rick said in increments. You know, they do small at a time, and then they step up their game. You know, as it goes down the line, we need to counteract their increments with more increments. You know, we need to when they put a pawn out there, we put something out there to counter that pawn. Just like playing chess. We got to be smarter than the system of the beast, because the system of the beast is going through every loophole, through every TV, into every ear, across every nation, and they are deteriorating society to the point that at some point you're going to be so far into this deal that there's no turning back. You see what I'm coming from? That's where the difference. We got to be smarter than these guys out there, man, because they've been at this a lot longer. We've been busy trying to take care of our families and each other and ourselves. And these guys have been out there trashing everything that has to do with any portion of decency in the world. And so, with that said, the responsibility is on us. How we deliver our message, how we get out there and deliver, put ourselves out there in the public, you know. I come from the Christian faith. Some of you may not be Christians, but whenever I'm a Christian, I'm going to be a 7-day-a-week Christian, and I'm going to walk away from things that I don't feel like are true to my beliefs. And whenever I talk to you, I'm going to try to use what I know from my own personal beliefs to give you the respect that you deserve, whether you're a Christian or not. And because I don't know who's listening on the opposite side out there in the world, I don't have to agree with any of you for any of the beliefs that you've got. But what I do have to do in order to be one of the Knights of the Round Table is to give you the respect, and everyone out there listening, the respect that you deserve. That, you know, like I said, I'm humbled and I am honored to have every single one of you. There is not one person here that I would want to do this show without, because everyone has something to bring to the table. We have the power.
Well, I didn't mean no disrespect, and I didn't think I was using profanity.
Well,
they use those words in school.
I know they do, Rick.
They're everywhere. They use them all over television, radio. The words that I said, I won't say them again. One began with an M. The other one is the same thing that you punch somebody with.
Yep.
And then I said about putting on a prophylactic type thing on a, or whatever. And I feel like I sat back for 2 hours and didn't join in the conversation, and you was talking about something, and I brought it to the next level, because I think what's more dangerous than hearing about people using an outhouse is what they're doing to our children. And now I feel like people think I've been disrespectful.
No, Rick, that's not, you haven't been disrespectful, but I'm just trying to point out to everybody, when I turned that TV on, my first reaction was, when I heard that, to turn that TV back off. All right? And it wasn't nothing that, you know, look, I agree with what you're saying. What they're doing is terrible.
My apologies. Ryan, what Ryan said about his kids are walking in and out, I always mention on my show to everybody, watch your language, because there are children listening.
Yeah.
More so than other people, And whenever somebody it goes over the top with either violence or profanity, I'm like, whoa, and all that.
Well,
but what I'm saying, what I said, if I chose my words wrong, I apologize. But maybe if Ryan's kid heard that M word or the F word, and the kid said, what's he talking about, Daddy? Maybe Ryan needs to sit down and ask, well, did the teachers talk to you about this stuff at school and find out what's going on? And we need an open and honest dialogue with children so that they can't be bamboozled by these, I don't know a nice way to say it, man. They're demonic freaks,
yep,
who want to destroy the family.
But right, we got
you're working while your kid's there, got somebody making your job is to go make money for the deal, which keeps you away from your kids, but their job is to desensitize your kids and educate your kids on things that they should not, they should be innocent of knowing.
Yeah, and we need that line of communication.
Baby has a pure mind.
We need that line of communication with our children, but once again, it starts there at home. We're down to the last 5 minutes of the show, and this has been a fascinating and a great show. Just like always, you know, Knights of the Round Table, when it takes off, it takes off. And so I wish we had a whole lot more time. But at the end,
I wish it didn't. You know what? I'm tired of being the controversial one here.
No, brother.
I'm not trying to be shock doc. I'm bringing up these issues. The children are the future.
They are.
We need to protect them.
They are. But
I don't think you need I don't think you need forgiveness, dude. I think basically there is nothing done. I think that's main point there.
Yeah, and I'm not saying
no. But to dwell on it kind of wastes a lot of time.
Yeah, I'm not trying to.
I wasn't dwelling on it. He mentioned the point.
Listen, Rick, we're running real short on time. I'm not trying to put you out there, make you sound like a bad guy.
That's disrupt.
That wasn't.
Soon I'll fire from this.
No. Come on. Look, I'm just saying.
No, it's all right. There's a lot of people.
Don't feel bad.
I am not trying to look. We all know things are going on, man. We got to do something about it. We got to do something about it. But we got to put ourselves above the standard of those that out there in this world that would do terrible things. And we got to take care of this business. We got to start by taking care of our kids from home. When they come home from school, sit down and ask them about school, you know, and find out what's going on in school. Listen for the keys that's going on, the things that they're being taught in school, you know. And when you find out that there's something going on in that school, you don't stand idly by. You get up there to have a conversation with that teacher, that principal, whoever's in charge of that education, and you find out what's going on. And then do something about it. If they come around there to arrest you for trying to take care of your child, you gather your community up there, and you go up there and you fire those people. You hired them. You fire them, and you put somebody in place, like one of the Knights of the Round Table, who's going to give your child the respect and the proper education that they deserve. So with that said, we're down to like the last 2 minutes, so we're probably going to run a hair over, but I want to give everybody the last word. Rick, I wasn't trying to attack you, and don't worry about it, okay? The love is there, and the respect is there, but the only reason why
you... Well, put it this way. We wouldn't have talked about this if I didn't bring up what I said, and I could have used better words.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Simple as that, you know. It's water under the bridge. It's water under the bridge. So now we got to move on.
No, it's not, because there's some people listening saying, yeah, now Chaz is against them too.
No, listen.
No, all right. No,
Rick.
Okay.
It's not.
No. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Rick, nobody changes.
I'm sorry if I was inappropriate again.
Rick, nobody changes my mind but me, okay? And I'm saying, all is well. That's not. It wasn't meant for to sound like an attack toward you. It was meant for us as a reminder. What we're all talking about right here is putting ourselves at a higher level than the people out there that are destroying our community. We, the people, have to fix this mess. It happened incrementally, so we got to counteract incrementally. One positive pebble at a time, one good action, and so on and so forth. So let's rush around the table real quick, because I'm going to run over in somebody else's time. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Who wants to go first?
I'll go through the list. So, Dublin, get yourself ready. Larry.
I'm ready.
Keep it short and sweet.
Go then, Dublin. Go, if you're ready.
Okay, I'll just say quickly, when they're putting the babies into, the ground up babies into Coca-Cola and Pepsi drinks, the reason they're doing that is when you start saying, oh, how can you do this, that, and the other, they say, well, you're eating babies as well. So who are you to talk? You see how they twist it?
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing you've got to watch out for, is how they will suddenly
use it against you.
Plan to hijack you or plan to attack you from the side.
Yeah.
Just so you know. Okay, that's all I've got to say.
No worries. Larry, sir.
I think we need to purify everything in the world that we're using. We need to change the frequency of the power. We need to get rid of the GMO. We can change the world. That's what we're here for.
Yep.
Dead right, Larry. Dead right, mate. Midco.
Yeah, basically, I can't really add to anything. Only thing that blew my mind was that with the Pepsi. I was really puking here, so, yeah.
Last glass of Pepsi for you tonight, was it?
Yeah.
Mystery.
I think my contribution has resonated quite well. That's just freaky. But I just think people should be helping people.
Yep, exactly.
Well said. Muddy, mud, man.
Oh, love and peace to the world. God bless each and every one. And learn the newish language, which is the easiest one. And actually the oldest, which is the language of love. That's peace and goodwill to men. And that's all I want. Keep smiling. And your heart will grow anything.
That's all any of us want, man.
Above all things, guard your heart.
Yeah, I'm done. Very true. Very.
Going once?
Got some parting words for us, Barry?
Make it quick, we're running over.
Oh. Jump in there, Rick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry, Rick. You're a good-hearted soul, brother.
By the way, besides, I just want to mention, besides CTC and 1800 and Awake Radio and Shaziz, we had a meeting last week that ShakeAndWakeRadio.com is getting streams and streaming the program.
Cool.
So I just wanted to mention ShakeAndWakeRadio.com because Chaz and Alan are the only ones who ever say ShakeAndWakeRadio.com. So I was just wondering how come when all of the networks are mentioned, we're not. So, you know, maybe we're on probation or something.
No, it's probably just an oversight, brother. I know we all got to stick together. So with that said, guys,
look, more imagination.
Peace and love to everybody. You know, that's what it's all about.
Two more. Yeah. Tom, been sitting there very quietly and patiently.
I'm a man of very few words. I just like to wish everybody have a good rest of the day and have a good week, and hopefully we'll be back here tomorrow or next weekend.
Awesome. Terry, do you have any parting words, my friend? There he is.
Hey, I just want to say good luck to everyone in their alternative energy research.
Thank you very much, Terry. And I wish you all the luck in the world with yours, too.
All right, well, who's left?
I'm pretty serious.
Sorry?
Who's left?
I'm very serious about it.
Oh, so are we, my friend. So are we. And down to me. peace and love as always, guys, and as I was talking about earlier in the show, I'll try and keep this as brief as humanly possible for you, but give it away. If you don't need it, need with a capital, with capital letters, if you don't need it, and someone out there needs it with capital letters, then you need to consider, you know, and a few of your possessions over if the opportunity arises.
All right, well, with that said, that's wonderful, man. Look, guys, there's not one...
Roll it up.
There's not one single individual here that I want to do without. I want all of you guys as the Knights of the Round Table. I want us to hold ourselves at a higher standard than all the networks before us. I want us to go into the future and pave those stones for the future of humanity. Because like I said before, if we don't do it, who else out there in the world is going to do it? When other people out there in the world see what we're accomplishing, they're going to jump on and they're going to go along with us and they're going to do the same thing for their communities and so on and so forth. And that is the ultimate dream of the Knights of the Round Table, is for us to stand tall in these dark times of the world and make this world a better place, so that when the future generations step out into the world as men, young men and women, they pass that on to their children and so on down the line. That's the only way that you're going to defeat the beast. You know, in my beliefs, you know, we got a higher power to answer to at the end of the day. And here, in the here and now, here down here on Earth, what we've got to contend with is a government out of control in every single nation. Corporations that don't mind what they put in your food or whatever, you know. But we're not going to allow it. We're going to step outside that system. We're going to find out the facts. We're going to move along. And we're going to build an entire system side by side their system. And eventually that system will fade into the night like a bad dream. And that's what it's all about for me. So with that said, to the next host coming up, I apologize for running over. But some things need to be said. I love all you guys. And don't give up. Don't give up. Don't get frustrated at one another. Don't allow each other to infight and all the kind of stuff that has torn networks before us apart. Because what we've got going on is so much more important than you know, any one of us alone. And we got to fix this. And the only way to do it is one step at a time. It wasn't broke overnight. It won't be fixed overnight. But with that said, we can do this thing. Peace and love to everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers, by hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I am your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system!
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot! Camelot! Camelot!
It's only a model.
Shh! Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that our quiet dancing able. We're rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.